The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello and welcome to Reflections Day by Day, a program from the North Carolina Reading Service. I'm George Douglas. For the next half hour, I'll be reading from the appointed daily scriptures and a brief commentary from the publication Forward Day by Day, a daily devotional for disciples. This booklet is intended for any Christian or non-denominational reader and is affiliated with the Episcopal Church USA. Our readings on this program cover the week of Monday, April 28th through Sunday, May 4th, 2025. The commentary for April was written by Owen Weber Courtney, who serves as Director of Information and Spirituality at St. John's Episcopal Church, Jacksonville, Florida. She is a teacher, lay minister, and sacred ground facilitator. She's also a third-generation Forward Day by Day reader. She lives and works in Florida and North Carolina and cherishes time with her husband, children, and grandchildren. Now, the commentary for May was written by Neil Kumar Raman, who serves as rector of Grace Church, Haddonfield, New Jersey. He has a love for teaching, church history, and the liturgy. He's an avid reader, a double bassist, and loves to cook, especially South Indian food. Now let's begin with the commentary for Monday, April 28th, the day on which we commemorate St. Mark, evangelist and apostle. And we begin with a passage from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 16, verse B. Go into all the world and proclaim the good news to the whole creation. It's a surprise that the writer of Mark didn't have Jesus say, immediately, go to the apostles here at the end of his ministry. After reading the rest of the gospel, it's obvious the author was in a hurry to spread the good news of Christ. The word immediately is used in the gospel 41 times, propelling the narrative forward with speed and urgency. The writer skips all genealogy, beginning this gospel with John the Baptizer, another person in a hurry. The author gets straight to the point. The good news of Jesus Christ, Son of God, is here. Good news is hard to hold back. Who wouldn't want to shout with joy and hurry to spread that word from the mountaintops? Our world needs more of us to be zealous in spreading the good news. And now I'm going to read from the gospel for this day from Mark 16, verses 15 through 20. And he said to them, go into all the world and proclaim the good news to the whole creation. The one who believes and is baptized will be saved, but the one who does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will accompany those who believe by using my name that will cast out demons. They will speak in new tongues. They will pick up snakes in their hands, and if they drink any deadly thing, it will not hurt them. They will lay their hands on the sick, and they will recover. So then the Lord Jesus, after he had spoken to them, was taken up into heaven and sat down at the right hand of God. And they went out and proclaimed the good news everywhere, while the Lord worked with them and confirmed the message by the signs that accompanied it. And the moving forward question for this Monday, April 28th, is where do you need to hurry to spread the good news? Now we turn to Tuesday, April 29th, the day on which we commemorate Catherine of Siena. It begins with a passage from the first letter of John, chapter 2, verse 11. But whoever hates another believer is in the darkness, walks in the darkness, and does not know the way to go, because the darkness has brought on blindness. If you have ever hated or been hated, you know the visceral damage it can do. Likewise, if you've ever loved or been loved, you see the joy it brings. The darkness of hate and the light of love cannot coexist. Throughout the Gospels, we are told that if we are in conflict with a brother or a sister, we must leave our gifts before the altar and be reconciled. If we are blinded by hatred, how can we possibly make our way to the light? Since the beginning of time, people's hearts have turned against each other, and our world today is riddled with division between people who despise each other. Perhaps this passage is assigned to the second Tuesday of Easter because the miracle of the resurrection is the only way to be saved from the power of hate. May it be your salvation this day. And now I'm going to read from the full passage from 1 John chapter 2, verses 1 through 11. My little children, I am writing these things to you so that you may not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. And he is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. Now by this we may be sure that we know him, if we obey his commandments. Whoever says, I have come to know him, but does not obey his commandments, is a liar. And in such a person the truth does not exist. But whoever obeys his word, truly in this person the love of God has reached perfection. By this we may be sure that we are in him. Whoever says, I abide in him, ought to walk just as he walked. Beloved, I am writing to you no new commandment, but an old commandment that you have had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word that you have heard. Yet I am writing you a new commandment that is true in him and in you, because the darkness is passing away and the true light is already shining. Whoever says, I am in the light, while hating a brother or sister, is still in the darkness. Whoever loves a brother or sister lives in the light, and in such a person there is no cause for stumbling. But whoever hates another believer is in the darkness, walks in the darkness, and does not know the way to go, because the darkness has brought on blindness. And the moving forward question for this Tuesday, April 29th, where do you find the light? The commentary for Wednesday, April 30th, begins also with a passage from the first letter of John, chapter 2, verse 14c. I write to you, young people, because you are strong, and the word of God abides in you. As I write my last reflection for this month, I leave you with these words from 1 John, because they bring forward my greatest prayer for the church. The body of Christ is not complete without our young people, and in too many Episcopal churches, the young people are missing. Even though I have been a part of family, youth, and children's ministry for most of my adult life, I don't have a single easy solution. In recent conversations with millennials, in an effort to understand their absence from organized religion, I have learned that they long for dialogue and discussion. They are tired of being lectured or sung to, all the while not having a chance to ask questions, disagree, and engage. I charge those of us who are older to reach out to the young people in our lives and our churches and remember that they are strong and the love of God abides in them. And now I'm going to read the full passage from 1 John chapter 2, verses 12 through 17. I am writing to you, little children, because your sins are forgiven on account of his name. I am writing to you, fathers, because you know him who is from the beginning. I am writing to you, young people, because you have conquered the evil one. I write to you, children, because you know the Father. I write to you, fathers, because you know him who is from the beginning. I write to you, young people, because you are strong, and the word of God abides in you, and you have overcome the evil one. Do not love the world or the things in the world. The love of the Father is not in those who love the world. For all that is in the world, the desire of the flesh, the desire of the eyes, the pride and riches, comes not from the Father, but from the world. And the world and its desire are passing away. But those who do the will of God live forever. And the moving forward suggestion for this Wednesday is find young people and remind them that they are beloved. Now as we turn to a new month and a new writer, let's turn to Thursday, May 1st, the day on which we commemorate St. Philip and St. James. The commentary begins with a passage from Psalm 119, verses 33 and 34. Teach me, O Lord, the way of your statutes, and I shall keep it to the end. Give me understanding, and I shall keep your law. I shall keep it with all my heart. One evening during my first year of college, I was sitting in the dorm common room, struggling with a physics problem. A senior physics major was seated at the next table, and I asked him for some help. I arrogantly explained that I understood the concepts just fine, but was having issues solving this particular question. He looked at the question and then back at me and said, "You don't really understand the concept if you can't work the problems." Then he showed me what I was doing wrong. Holy Scripture is not given to us as something to be grappled with as a mere academic exercise. It is meant to be inscribed on our hearts. It is intended to be lived out each day. The invitation to keep God's law is an invitation to holiness. We are meant to work the problem. We are meant to get stuck. We are meant to seek help from God's grace and love each day, so that over time we may embody that love more and more. And now I'm going to read from this passage from Psalm in the Old Testament, from the Psalms, number 119, verses 33 to 40. Teach me, O Lord, the way of your statutes, and I will observe it to the end. Give me the understanding that I may keep your law and observe it with my whole heart. Lead me in the path of your commandments, for I delight in it. Turn my heart to your decrees and not to selfish gain. Turn my eyes from looking at vanities. Give me life in your ways. Confirm to your servant your promise, which is for those who fear you. Turn away the disgrace that I dread, for your ordinances are good. See, I have longed for your precepts. In your righteousness, give me life. And the moving forward question for this Thursday, how are you doing in truly understanding the concepts of God's love and grace? Now the commentary for Friday, May 2nd, the day on which we commemorate Athanasius of Alexandria. It begins with a passage from Psalm 134, verses 1 and 2. Behold now, bless the Lord, all you servants of the Lord, you that stand by night in the house of the Lord. Lift up your hands in the holy place and bless the Lord who made heaven and earth, bless you out of Zion. One of the loneliest moments of my life took place during my turn to keep overnight vigil in my mother's hospice room. I was still reeling from the shock of her accident and coming to terms with her approaching death. That night and the weeks leading up to it showed me the meaning of desolation in a new way. Even though my mother was not conscious, I took time that night to say what I felt I needed to say to her before she died. When I had said all that I could think of, we settled into a long period of silence. In my need to break the silence, I picked up my prayer book to pray Compline. As I sat in my grief, I found myself reading Psalm 134. This short two-verse psalm reminded me that while I felt alone, the Lord who made heaven and earth was keeping vigil alongside me and my mother and extending a hand of blessing over both of us during that long night watch. I'm going to repeat that psalm one time because this is the entire psalm, just these two verses. Psalm 134, verses 1 and 2. Behold now, bless the Lord, all you servants of the Lord, you that stand by night in the house of the Lord. Lift up your hands in the holy place and bless the Lord who made heaven and earth. Bless you out of Zion. And now I'm going to read the passage for this day from the first letter of John, chapter 3, verses 1 through 10. See what love the Father has given us, that we should be called children of God. And that is what we are. The reason the world does not know us is that it did not know Him. Beloved, we are God's children now. What we will be has not yet been revealed. What we do know is this: when He is revealed, we will be like Him, for we will see Him as He is. And all who have this hope in Him purify themselves, just as He is pure. Everyone who commits sin is guilty of lawlessness. Sin is lawlessness. You know that He was revealed to take away sins, and in Him there is no sin. No one who abides in Him sins. No one who sins has either seen Him or known Him. Little children, let no one deceive you. Everyone who does what is right is righteous, just as He is righteous. Everyone who commits sin is a child of the devil, for the devil has been sinning from the beginning. The Son of God was revealed for this purpose, to destroy the works of the devil. Those who have been born of God do not sin because God's seed abides in them. They cannot sin because they have been born of God. The children of God and the children of the devil are revealed in this way. All who do not do what is right are not from God, nor are those who do not love their brothers and their sisters. And the moving forward question for this Friday, May 2nd, is, when have you felt the abiding presence of God? The commentary for Saturday, May 3rd, begins with a passage from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 4, verses 3 and 4. The devil said to Him, "If you are the Son of God, command this stone to become a loaf of bread." Jesus answered him, "It is written, one does not live by bread alone." Baking bread has been an on-and-off hobby of mine for years. I love the process of baking it, and I love eating it. Yet, as much as I love freshly baked bread, I know that there can be too much of a good thing. From my bread-loving perspective, I might argue with Jesus' statement that one does not live by bread alone. But of course, this excerpt from Jesus' temptation in the wilderness isn't really about bread at all. It is about the illusion that we can sustain ourselves on our own. Any attempt to go it alone quickly becomes stale and monotonous. We can try to trick ourselves with various recipes and distractions, but when left to sustain ourselves, we will always fail. Rather than fail again and again to satisfy ourselves with a stale loaf of our own creation, God invites us to feast at the dynamic and ever-satisfying table that has been set for us. And now I'm going to read this full gospel for this Saturday, May 3rd. It is from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 1, verses 1 through 13. Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit in the wilderness, where for 40 days he was tempted by the devil. He ate nothing at all during those days, and when they were over, he was famished. The devil said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command this stone to become a loaf of bread." Jesus answered him, "It is written, one does not live by bread alone." Then the devil led him up and showed him in an instant all the kingdoms of the world. And the devil said to him, "To you I will give their glory and all this authority, for it has been given over to me, and I give it to anyone I please. If you then will worship me, it will all be yours." Jesus answered him, "It is written, worship the Lord your God and serve only him." Then the devil took him to Jerusalem and placed him on the pinnacle of the temple, saying to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you to protect you, and on their hands they will bear you up so that you will not dash your foot against a stone." Jesus answered him, "It is said, do not put the Lord your God to the test." When the devil had finished every test, he departed from him until an opportune time. And the moving forward question for this Saturday is, how often do you try to go it alone? What is this passage saying to you? Now, as we near the end of the week and the end of this particular program, let's turn to Sunday, May 4th, the third Sunday of Easter. The commentary begins with a passage from the Gospel of John, chapter 21, verse 12a. Jesus said to them, "Come and have breakfast." Gathering around food is one of the ways we create community. We meet for coffee, talk with friends over lunch, and gather for celebratory meetings. Traditions around birthdays, Thanksgiving, and Christmas meals strengthen community, not just among those gathered that day, but across time. When we share our mother's or grandmother's recipes, we find that somehow that generation is at the table with us as well. Gathering around a table changes things. We are different after we share a meal. The most common element across the resurrection accounts is the disciples sharing a meal with Jesus. The frequency of these post-resurrection meals is an indication that we should pay attention. Jesus' passion and death broke the community of disciples. They scattered, many abandoned or denied Jesus. In the wake of his resurrection, Jesus reforms that broken community. He calls them together in peace and forgiveness, and then he eats with them. Over those meals, they are reformed and transformed into a community gathered around Jesus and sent into the world proclaiming the good news. And now I'm going to read the full gospel passage for this third Sunday in Easter. It's from John chapter 21, verses 1 through 19. After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples by the Sea of Tiberias, and he showed himself in this way. Gathered there together were Simon Peter, Thomas called the Twin, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two others of his disciples. Simon Peter said to them, "I am going fishing." They said to him, "We will go with you." They went out and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. Just after daybreak, Jesus stood on the beach, but the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to them, "Children, you have no fish, have you?" They answered him, "No." He said to them, "Cast the net to the right side of the boat, and you will find some." So they cast it, and now they were not able to haul it in because there were so many fish. That disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, "It is the Lord." When Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on some clothes, for he was naked, and jumped into the sea. But the other disciples came in the boat, dragging the net full of fish, for they were not far from the land, only about 100 yards off. When they had gone ashore, they saw a charcoal fire there with fish on it and bread. Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish that you have just caught." So Simon Peter went aboard and hauled the net ashore, full of large fish, 153 of them. And though there were so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, "Come and have breakfast." Now none of the disciples dared to ask him, "Who are you?" because they knew it was the Lord. James came and took the bread and gave it to them and did the same with the fish. This was now the third time that Jesus appeared to the disciples after he was raised from the dead. When they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, son of John, "Do you love me more than these?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my lambs." A second time he said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Tend my sheep." He said to him the third time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter felt hurt because he said to him the third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep. Very truly I tell you, when you were younger, you used to fasten your own belt and to go wherever you wished. But when you grow old, you will stretch out your hands, and someone else will fasten a belt around you and take you where you do not wish to go." He said this to indicate the kind of death by which he would glorify God. After this, he said to them, "Follow me." And the moving forward question for this Sunday, May 4th, is, plan a friend or a family dinner? And that's all the time we have for today's episode of Reflections Day by Day. Let's close with a special prayer from Father Richard Rohr, founder of the Center for Action and Contemplation in Albuquerque, New Mexico. Let us pray. Creator God, O great love, thank you for living and loving in us and through us. May all that we do flow directly from our deep connection with you and with other beings. Help us become a community that shares each other's burdens and the weight of glory. Listen to your heart's longings for the healing of our world. Knowing that you are hearing us better than we are speaking, we offer this prayer in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, and in all the holy names of God. Amen. I'm George Douglas. Thank you for joining me today for Reflections Day by Day. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Reflections Day by Day is a presentation of the North Carolina Reading Service and is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. Please join me for a new program of readings and commentary next week from Forward Day by Day, a publication of forwardmovement.org. Goodbye until next time.